Absolutely.
All righty, Danny. We've had a pretty busy morning, yourself and I, and the Melbourne weather is absolutely pristine, but I had no problems out there wearing my comfy nuts and using the Bare Nuts pubic hair removal cream that I've got in my hand. I was fresh as sun, gave me no dramas, there was no sweat. Oh, did you have your comfy nuts on? I didn't check.
I've always got my comfy nuts on.
Yeah, you're primed, That's why at any given Sunday, we are proud to be supported by Australia's fastest growing men's grooming brand, Nut Care. Boys here. Proudly Australian, Nut Care is taking down under grooming to the modern day man. They've recently been voted number one, just like us, by the hens. The Men's Health magazine.
The hens like it too.
Yes, great point. With the Bare Nuts pubic hair removal cream, and Nut Care is revolutionising male grooming. As proud sponsors, just like all of our sponsors, the code Any Given Sunday, all one word, at the checkout, and you'll be given 10% off your first order. Nut Care is essential grooming for us men.
Brown 45! Brown 45!
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes. Hello and welcome to Any Given Sunday, Australia, the number one podcast in at least three households, except for today and last week. I've actually, Cardi, you are here with us. I'm on location today. Danny took the week off. Was not here last week, so I've dragged myself down to his lab to make sure that he is here with us today. I'll get back in this spiel. We're number one in Winnipeg. We're in a studio with the Pro Kick Boys, which we'll talk about in a minute. Joining us, as always, down in his basement where we don't know where that is, at Tim Cardi AGSAU. How are you, mate?
I'm feeling really lonely, actually. Jealous. I just want to be right there in the middle, right in there with you boys. But
there is a gap.
I'm good. And you guys have had a very good morning, which you'll touch on pretty soon.
We will. We will. It is tight here. Joining me at your place of residence, at Danny Webb, AGSAU. How are you, mate?
I'm feeling forced against my will. But I am more than happy to be here today. Apologise to the fam for not being there last week. Had some family stuff. But I'm here. I'm here and ready to go after a ripper morning that we had.
Now, we will get onto the Pro Kick morning that we've had, but you've had an annual leave, or you went away for your birthday.
Yes. And it's a birthday that never ends.
Timmy and I have organised something that you haven't seen, but we're going to share it here live with the fam as long as technology allows me. Let's try and get a live react. Here it is. Once it plays.
Get the other way.
Oh, no, don't do this. Hide. There we go.
Hey, Danny, it's Aaron Sipos here from the Philadelphia Eagles. Just wishing you a very happy birthday. I understand you bring a lot of energy to the podcast that you're currently doing over in Australia, which is great. So keep bringing that Eagle spirit and keep growing the grain. We really appreciate it. But, wishing you a very happy birthday and I hope you celebrate it in style. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds indeed.
Go Birds.
Definitely going to need a Sipos one up there. But if he stays on the squad, that is.
Yeah, I was going to say, we think he might have been cut.
not the most perfect time, but thanks, boys. Nah. We appreciate it. How good's that?
Okay. Yeah, nice little. And go Danny. Yeah. Go Danny.
Like I said, the birthday that never ends. This is just the never ending birthday. I'm loving it.
Nice. Glad you enjoy it, mate. You did kind of see me setting it up, which gave it away a little bit. But so he doesn't know, but he will join us on the podcast one day.
Beautiful.
We'll get him. We did start off this morning at the Pro Kick trial day just down the road from you, hence why we're at your place. How'd we go?
Oh, it was a ripper day. So we went down to see the Pro Kick lads. There was the lads there from Geelong, the Melbourne boys, a couple of lads from Perth. Mm. It was a massive turnout, probably over 100 of the lads just practicing their punts, kicking, a few first-timers as well. And they just kind of got ran through what the program's like. If anyone's out there who's listening, who's got a cannon of a foot, definitely jump on the ProKick website and sign up and get down there. It was a ripper day, and those hopefully a few kids are going to be getting some college scholarships out of it, which is huge. It's like $200,000 worth of schooling, completely paid for. It's an unbelievable opportunity and something you don't want to miss.
Mm. And just the coaching that was there, they had Josh Browder, who we're going to get on the podcast soon, the kicking consultant on all the socials. He was there strutting his stuff too, and he's a ripped human being. He was there doing sprints at the end, and he was with them doing it. He was down in the mud. It was great. It was great to see. You should have come up, Carl.
I would have, mate. Obviously, I had a couple of commitments down here, but now, just to reiterate what Danny said, like, you look at the success of the ProKick boys and, you know, their success of getting guys into the college system over there, and, you know, they've got great numbers to back up their program. So, yeah, if you're thinking about having a crack, get on to them, because they've obviously got locations across Australia, or that, you know, camps across Australia, I guess you could say. So it's pretty accessible all the way around. So, yeah, have a look into it and jump on board.
Yeah, it's a hell of a lot more accessible than it used to be. They've got, I think, pretty much every state, and then a couple down here in Melbourne where Chappie and the boys are. So, yeah, absolutely.
The coaching was absolutely elite down there as well. There's a couple of first timers that went and was just having some AFL style punts, and by the end of it, they'll kick in perfect spirals. So your skill level is not only going to improve, but it's going to be the way that the Americans like it. And
what do you got, Gary?
I think I do want to question the level of coaching, or maybe it was just the access to the coaching today, but I saw some behind the scenes footage of one of our boys. We won't say who it is. It's Tom. No, that's too obvious. We'll go T. McMillan. Might have been having a kick, and it was an absolute fucking dog shit of a terrible live connection. But
live,
I'm gonna say, is that the before video? And we've got a little after video after some coaching.
Put in a few weeks work with Timmy and Chappie, but no, live, that was a much better kick than what it looks in the video.
Maybe the ankle didn't do you justice.
I did say to Danny that I kicked it and I was pretty happy with myself, and then a young bloke stepped up behind me and absolutely murdered the ball, and I was like, shit. But they were all great. Even the kids, they're not kids. They're, you know, from 14 to, some, it was a guy that was there, was 28, and they loved us. They really got around us. So, yeah, it was a good morning.
We're definitely number one in a few of their households as well. You missed that in the spiel at the start. We are. Got a little ego boost there.
Come up and say,
we love the ProKick boys. And a lot of the guys that we've spoken to that are in the college system have come through ProKick and our connections with ProKick, getting, you know, putting us in touch with them there. So, yeah, we're very thankful for that connection too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we've spoken enough about that. We're just going to quickly touch on our Danzen Game Pass. It's not a code. It's a link. What we have, a competition has ended, and we will be reconvening to work out the winner soon. But still, the link is still live, and it actually has come down. So as of the weekend, it was, I think, $20 or $30 cheaper. You know, you've lost the first 3 weeks, which is a shame, but you can still get on. It's slightly cheaper, and you can still use our code going forward. So get around that. But it was a big weekend.
It was a massive weekend.
And there was a lot of work for our resident doctor.
Thank you for calling Dr. Danny's office.
Oh, it was.
So fidgety sitting.
Yeah, just come close. We're just doing like this all the time. So it was a big week for old Dr. Danny. Probably most importantly that we've got to talk about is Mike Williams doing his ACL season-ending injury. It was a shocker. Not really what you would want. It seems to happen again and again and again.
I didn't know that had been confirmed.
Oh, that's confirmed, ACL.
And he had a big...
The last I heard, he was going for MRIs. Damn.
100 and something yards just before it, so...
That is a big change.
Fantasy.
Get him
out of there. You're going to have to drop him, unfortunately. But yeah, he was having a ripper start to the season, so it's a shame to see him go. And the Chargers probably need him. Probably need him with the way they've been playing. Next up, Derek Carr for the Saints. Cards, don't get too excited about this, but it was an AC joint sprain. He went down, landed pretty hardly on his shoulder. They reckon he's going to be out for roughly 2.5 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints push that for 3, just to try and give him as much rest as possible. Now, talking about the Raiders,
get excited.
Jimmy G, old knock to the noggin. He's in concussion protocols. there's about a 50% chance he'll be back, as it is with most concussions. So looking hopeful for him to be returning. Deebo Samuel, he did his ribs. Probably will continue to play, but he's definitely not going to be 100%. Gus Edwards for the Ravens, also on concussion protocol. Rashad Bateman for the Ravens did his hamstring and didn't practice. And Jonathan Mingo for the Panthers, he's also out in concussion protocols.
How are you with Garoppolo, mate? Are you all right?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
He's in the protocol, so he's not necessarily going to be back. It all depends on how they, you know, each individual person's different, aren't they?
Well, yeah, you got to go off certain steps and stages of the protocol. So I don't know, like it's different to the AFL in that you don't. It's not a mandated.
No, it's not the 10 days like ours.
Not mandated 10 or 12 days or whatever. So I think as long as you tick off certain boxes through the protocol, you can be right to play the next week. So
yeah, and as I was saying, it's over 50% of people get back. So if you're within the week.
Yeah. Especially, do we know if he's had one before? Because that the second or third time is usually stretched out a bit more.
I think it was his first.
Can be. But I'm not sure on his history of the head knocks there. So we'll see. Right. We'll wait and see.
We probably should have mentioned real early that Dr. Danny is brought to us by our friends American Connection with a K, one of our good sponsors. 10% off with the code Any Given Sunday. Perfect for all those guys this time of year, especially like the Pro Kick boys. We saw how much actually gear they have.
So some really fly visors as well in the helmet visors.
What about the hat backwards in the helmet?
Oh, Matt McKenzie. Morgan. Froth back.
Yeah, he was a big fan of the hat backwards. hit up these guys for all your gear, some quality
equipment and apparel. They've got you sorted.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We're going to move on to previews. No.
Our reviews
from last week. It was a huge week. There were some close games, a lot of upsets that we could have talked about for days.
New upset to the weekend. Yeah.
Some major surprises going forward. And we threw it up on the Twitter and everyone got around that post because everyone had a different surprise that was their favorite for the week going forward.
What do you have, mate? Let's start with you.
So I picked the Cowboys and the Cardinals. Shout out, Joshy boy. You know, any chance I get to rip on the Cowboys, I'm jumping on.
And Loz. And Laurie.
Yeah, Loz. Yeah. Yeah, just as much Loz, yeah. So it was after week two, I was talking about the Cowboys as if they were one of the top contenders to be the Super Bowl favorites. I was all in.
We all were, bro. We all were.
Defense looked elite. And this elite defense allowed for 180 rushing yards in the first half alone. And then their offense, once again, made it to the red zone 5 times, scored once. Not looking great. It's interesting, though, the Cowboys have now lost 7 of their past 8 matchups against the Cardinals, so they've got their number.
Ooh.
Josh Dobbs came out, absolutely swinging, completed 17 of 21 passes for 189 yards and a touchdown, recording his first ever win as a starter. Before that, he was 0-4. And Arizona scored on all of their first 5 possessions before halftime. So they were just locked in, ready to go. But it was an absolute massive upset. The Cowboys were unfortunately called for 13 penalties, which sent them back 107 yards. The most costly came at a punt return, which should have ended them up on Arizona's 23-yard line. But they ended up getting pulled all the way back to Dallas' 16-yard line. So it was essentially like one of their biggest downfalls, massive momentum shifter. Dak completed 25 of his 40 passes for 249 yards and a touchdown. Relatively good stats, but he did throw an interception to Kaiser White in the end zone with 3 minutes on the clock, which absolutely sealed the game.
What are the odds he's going to throw an interception? I'm going to be paying $1.01.
There would be a market out there for it.
Yeah, there is every week. Yes and no is pretty much what it is. It doesn't even say how much.
Yeah,
so that interception, though, I think it was his first for the game, and it was so timely, so costly, and eventually like sealed their fate.
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit ironic with that, like, you know, that's the big knock on Dak is his ability to protect the ball. And then, yeah, he does it at that crucial timing and costing the game. A little bit ironic.
Yeah, and Dak has come out and said that the loss has absolutely humbled him, and they're just going to come back better, being better. But the Cardinals, essentially for the season starting, they were set out to lose. They were set out to try and get one of the worst records because they want their number one pick. So it's not really the team you want to be losing to.
And like their defense, their offense has not lit the world on fire the first few weeks, the Cowboys, but their defense has. But to have that many yards against, you know, no offense, but Josh Dobbs, and 180 rushing yards as well. Like,
just in the first, first half. I think it ended up being 220 or something.
Yeah, that's what really I think will be stinging for them this week.
Did the loss of Diggs have that much of an impact?
Not on the rushing, or... but it definitely would have, 100%.
Imagine losing a core guy from your lineup. It's obviously going
to
have an impact.
In fairness to the Cowboys as well, they had two first starters on their offensive line as well.
Now, let's not give them any excuses. It's not good enough.
You're not the one who's going to get tagged for this, are you?
Yeah, I know.
It's Tony Webb, HSA, you. I'm ready.
Prime. All right, Cartier, did you watch and review, mate?
I had a look at it. It was another one of the upsets. It was the Texans and the Jags. The Texans got up big time winners, 37-17. And again, actually, in this matchup, I think they've got the better of the head to heads over the last however long. Like it's like 11-1 or 2 or something. Like it's something pretty crazy that they've actually got the wood over the Jags lately. Even though the Jags have kind of struggled a bit lately, we just know that the Texans have struggled even more. Few little things I put out from the game. We'll get into some stats later, but just from the Texans' point of view, it's their rookies. So, well, I suppose their rookie coach, D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud, that was their first win in the big leagues. Tank Dell, he set a franchise record, for a wide receiver for the most amount of yards for a rookie franchise record, 145 yards there for Tank Dell. He also grabbed a touchdown. Will Anderson, also their third pick in the draft. He became the first Houston rookie to block a field goal since J.J. Watt in 2011. So that's a cool little stat. And then just Stroud stats. He had 280 yards for 2 touchdowns. So just obviously the future's looking bright there for the Texans. Like they're young guys getting it done, setting a few records and just sort of playing well. The other big there's another record out of that game in the third quarter, Andrew Beck, the fullback. I'm sure a lot of you guys saw the video. He became the first fullback since 2005 to return a kickoff for a touchdown. And the record that he set, he's the heaviest player in the NFL to ever return a kickoff for a touchdown. So that was pretty cool.
I haven't seen it often.
Heaviest. He's 255 pounds. He's thereabouts. But along the way, he broke like 5 to 6 genuine broke tackles. And if you saw the video, he fumbles it at the start.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that. That maybe gave him the opportunity that he fumbled, regathered, and once he was up and he just said he saw a little hole, so he just ran. So maybe that little fumble actually worked in his favor. But, pretty cool record, the heaviest player to return the touchdown there. For the Jags, Trevor Lawrence, he had 270 yards for a touchdown and an interception. So kind of serviceable. The interception hurt him a little bit. But the sort of a bit of a story from the Jags side of things was Doug Peterson. He's no longer calling the plays, the offensive plays. It's the OC Press Taylor, cool name there, Press Taylor. So it's his third different play caller in 3 years for Trev. But I'm not sure if you saw it, but Aaron Rodgers was asked about it. If a different play caller every year, is that going to impact a developing quarterback like Lawrence? And he sort of said, not really. Like, it's all just noise. Like, it should be, you're in the same system. So it should be the same call, same audible, same, all that sort of stuff. It's literally just a different person telling you. So it shouldn't actually impact you that much, which I thought was kind of interesting. And, not really making any excuses for Lawrence there, but that's just kind of where they struggled a bit. But yeah, Houston, big time winners.
Should we start getting worried about the Jags? Because we were all talking preseason that, like, Trevor Lawrence was going to take this next step. Having Calvin Ridley come back is going to be huge for him. They're going to make such a massive impact. Are we getting to the point now where we need to start worrying about Jacksonville?
Well, so Ridley hasn't quite hit his straps yet. He dropped, I think, 3 balls on the weekend, 2 of which were in the end zone. So, he catches all 3 of those and it's a totally different story. Maybe Jags go on and win. It's still early doors. They did go on that run at the end of the year. I think it was 5 straight to win the division, going to the playoffs. Then they had their record-breaking comeback since then, though, they've gone on a run of 1-3. So their form over the last four games hasn't been super. But I think, you know, you got a genius coach in Doug Peterson still at the helm there. You know, Trevor Lawrence is still that up and coming quarterback who we all sort of expected him to be. I don't think write them off yet.
I think they're lucky with the division they're in as well. Is not like the Titans are probably their biggest worry, and they haven't hit the straps either. So
they certainly haven't either. So that'll definitely play into their favor. But I wouldn't write them off yet. And you know, obviously the Colts are 2-1 and kind of flying a little bit, but who knows how they're going to go.
That's because of Minshew.
A little bit of an eagle.
He's loved everywhere he goes.
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue. Let's leave it there because I was going to keep the theme going and talk about the Colts beating the Ravens 22-19 in overtime, which is, like you said, a huge win and making them 2-1, which we definitely didn't have them. I think I was a bit more bullish on them, but I was bullish on them with Anthony Richardson. He didn't actually play. So I said it like 11-5, and you both were shocked. So far, I'm looking pretty good.
We can check the tape. That's
I definitely have them more than you boys did. But, Richardson didn't play, so it was our man Minshew that come in. And he did more than enough. He only was 27-44 for 277. And one touchdown. The biggest thing, I think, is the Ravens' defense still held up. They had 5 sacks. And I feel like if you're a younger quarterback and you're getting hit 5 times, 6 times in a game, you're probably not going to water, but it's going to affect you a little bit more, where Gardner's able to say, you know what, it's all good, keep it moving, just get the next first down. And Zach Moss had a bit of a breakout game, 30 carries for 122 yards. Didn't get in for a touchdown. Actually, he did. It was a receiving touchdown, not a rushing touchdown, because he also went for 23 in the air. And Pittman Jr., 9 receptions for 77 yards. So to be able to get over the line, especially they were down late, was 57 seconds to go. Big Matty Gay knocked it over to tie it all up. I believe the Ravens might have even taken a knee in the last. Anyway, got sent to the overtime. Doesn't matter. But in overtime as well, there was 5 different, four turnovers of the ball. So there was a punt, 2 punts in a row, and then 2 on 4th down in a row. So both teams held the ball. Well, the Ravens had it twice and went 3 and out and 4 and out. So they had their chance to win. Lamar just couldn't get over the line. I'm just getting stats here. So Lamar threw for, 22 of 31 for 202. No touchdowns in the air, but did have 14 carries for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Otherwise, there wasn't really much. Zay Flowers, the rookie, he went for 48 yards off 8 receptions. And Gus Edwards had 11 carries for 51 yards. So it's back to all being on Lamar, and it's all on Lamar's shoulders. And, you know, if he can't get the job done against, let's be honest, a Colts team that is struggling, they're kind of going on belief more than anything. And maybe all that, what are they, the AFC East or whatever, North, AFC North, just opens up a little bit for the Bengals, where we were a little bit worried about them, I think.
Yeah, when the Bengals did come out and win, which is good, wasn't the most entertaining of all games, a lot of field goals.
Shit house.
It was a tough watch.
What I was going to say before, and I wanted to jump in, and you forced me to bite my tongue, was that it's not very often you get the ball twice in overtime.
No, that's right.
Let alone 3 times like the Colts did. It took them 3 times to actually get it done. But for the Ravens to have the ball twice and not get it done in overtime, just doesn't happen very often. So it was absolutely huge by the Colts and a massive win. A lot of the Colts fan base up and about. And Gardner Minshew did go in there being like, I want to be the number one quarterback.
Yeah.
And he wanted AR to be under him. And it just didn't fall that way. And they obviously picked AR over him. So him going out, he's like, I've got a lot to prove here. I've still got a lot of football to play. And apparently he is that perfect locker room presence, and he'll just get around whatever system, whatever you put him in, whatever position you put him in, whether you want to be the backup or the starter, he'll just get around it, and that's exactly what he's done.
Well, big locker room guy too. But what was the stat about Gay, the kicker? Was it 3 kicks over 50 in a single game or something like that, or over 55 or whatever his stat was? So, like you said, he kicked the tie.
The last
kick the tie and field goal in the winning field.
The last 2 were 52 and 52 yards, I think. So... Yeah. Like huge on his shoulders and come up big.
Does that score big in fantasy if it's over a certain
The further distance? You out, the more.
Oh, yeah. He would have had a day.
Yeah. I don't know who had him, but had a day. Had an absolute day. All right. Before we move on to our news, there is a game that we probably should mention. It was not an upset, but it was a gentleman's game. In the end, it was a gentleman's game. It was a 70-20 flogging. The Miami Dolphins, and why was it the gentleman's game in the end?
So the Dolphins had the chance to take out the all-time scoring record. I think it's at 72. They had a chance to kick a field goal right at the very end, and they decided to take a knee twice rather than kick that field goal. It was an absolute gentleman's win. Let that record stick in the 90s or whenever it was, 80s maybe.
Or was it the Finns? Was it them back then?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
1966.
Well, there you go.
They're like just let that record stay as it is because no one should be scoring 70 points anymore. Defense are way better than what it used to be. So the fact that they managed to get it done just shows this Bears team's in trouble. And this Dolphins team's... Okay, good. Thanks, mate. this Dolphins team's looking unstoppable.
Mm.
I spoke about it last week, but the Tua Tyreek Hill connection, crazy. And he has got to be one of the fastest men alive.
Yeah, well, he thinks he is, and he knows he is. So, but 10 touchdowns, 5 on the ground, 5 in the air, I think. Like, it's bloody incredible. So, shout out to the Dolphins and Tua. I do have Tua in a few of my fantasy leagues. So, although I think you're one of the running backs who both had 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, most of it had a massive week fantasy wise. I had him in a couple of teams as well. Yeah, he absolutely balled out.
Dang, nice. So, but yeah. How worried are we about Russ, like, and the boys at Denver, Cats?
Well, Russ he's gone for 306 yards and a touchdown, but he's also got an interception in there as well. It is looking a little bit grim, 0-3.
They're playing another 0-3 team, so which is someone has to win.
Someone has to win.
Was that why you were saying it was the Broncos? I was thinking the Broncos in my head that whole time. Did I say they're versus the Bears before?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my bad team. Absolutely my bad fam. I was thinking Broncos because they're playing the Bears this week.
They do play the Bears this week. Yeah.
They're playing this week, yeah. No, I thought you said Broncos. It doesn't matter.
What about it?
Let's not want it back. Let's go back and edit that.
We're going to push on to some news. And the news this week is, as it always is, brought to you by our good friends at C2C Rare Threads. Hit them up with our code, Any Given Sunday, or one word. They have some incredible shirts, jerseys, jumpers, across different sports as well. So, and shoes. If you like your Jordans.
The rare
shoes. They're really good quality. Hit them up. They're incredible people there too. So a nice little family business up on the Gold Coast they are, but they'll work with you to get whatever you want as well. So our first story comes to us from the Jets. So Aaron Rodgers, I think you were saying, it was on the Pat McAfee show, Karts has come out and, we'll clear that, well done, has come out and had a few words about the team. What has he come out and said, mate?
Basically, it's about sticking together, sticking fat, because there's been some stories coming out about a few boys on the defense maybe not being too happy with what's happening on the offensive side of the ball, and fair enough, because the defense is still considered to be a championship defense or whatever. And then obviously on the offensive side of the ball, a lot of noise about Zach Wilson and is he tenable as the QB moving forward? Like, do they need to pick up a veteran quarterback, which we'll touch on in a second, they kind of have now. Garrett Wilson kind of, I can't remember exactly what his quote was, but he kind of, along the lines of said, I'm in my prime.
Come on.
No, but like just, physically he's in his prime. He should, he should be able to perform. He should be able to do certain things, and maybe he can't with the quarterback he's got at the moment. And even just rumblings of Robert Saleh treating Zach Wilson different to the others. Like if other players weren't performing or were performing to the level that Wilson is, they'd probably be benched by now. And so just a little bit of disharmony maybe in the locker room. And then was it Joe Namath came out and said, I've seen enough. Zach Wilson needs to go. Yeah. And like, obviously a pretty big name and like he's got big opinions and stuff like that. So a lot of noise. And then Rodgers basically just came out and said, it doesn't help. And like, the supporters doing Jets things, doing Jets supporter-based things. Rodney's come out and just said, like, you know, we need unity, get behind the boys, stop the trash talking from the locker room, like, get on the same page, like, keep working hard, head down, bum up. Obviously, he's not at the facility at the moment. He's doing his rehab, I think, back over in LA where he lives. So he won't be back in the facility for another probably 5-6 weeks. I'm not too sure. But yeah, that was basically the message. Like, just stop it. Get on the same page. Let's be positive. Like, things are, yeah, stop it. But
Fair to the Jets, which the Jets fans, never fair to the Jets because the Jets fans are savage. So,
do you love them? You got to be fair to
them. The defense, if you were part of that defensive side, which is a top tier, elite level defense side, you weren't annoyed at Zach Wilson, are you really a competitor? Like, unfortunately, he's only scored 2 touchdowns in their 2 losses, across the 2 losses. And then I think it might have only been 1 in the win as well. And then it was the punt return. So, and if you watch him in that,
I think it's 1 touchdown across the last three full games. Kind of thing.
So it's not great. Not great as a starting QB. And obviously, so much of his thing is mental as well. You watch him in the first half and there's passes open and he hesitates. He holds the ball for too long and then he gets sacked. He hesitates, holds the ball too long, and gets sacked. Sees something change, does play action, decides to run the ball instead of, you know, passing it. And then you watch him in the second half, he starts hitting targets. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of it for him might be a mental thing. And like you were saying, Robert Saleh has kind of wrapped him up in cotton wool and he's protecting him. But if he can go speak to a psych, do whatever he can do to unlock his mind. Like, because you see him in the preseason, preseason, but he was hitting some absolute bombs. And like when he was starting those drives, he was doing really well. And there's nothing to stop him. He can be a good quarterback. I just think he needs to unlock his own mind and, you know, just go out there and play how he has been playing in the second halves.
You got to play with that confidence. It's borderline between arrogance and confidence, but what do you
get? I can see all Danny's notes and he can see all the notes that I don't have. He's just got written down, Jets fans are savage, which I love it. It's great. But I think,
and like, I can understand the defense wanting to come out and almost like defend themselves. Like, we're doing what we can. Essentially, it's the offensive side of the ball, but no one's blaming the defense. Like, everyone knows the whole season was planned on having Aaron Rodgers, and it's no one's fault Aaron Rodgers has gone out. No one's blaming the defense. So from that point of view, you kind of don't need to come out and justify what you're doing. Everyone knows that you're like, the defense is still good. Mm-hmm. So just from that point of view, like, I reckon, yeah, you don't need the stuff coming from the inside the facility coming out.
And also with Zach as well, like, he came into this season after not doing too well in his previous season, knowing that he was going to be behind one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Don't let your head get too big. Coming behind one of the greatest backs of all time to learn and to grow. That was the plan for this season. Then in four plays, he's like, nah, you're the number one guy again. Like, that does take some time to get your head around mentally. Like, he was preparing for this. As soon as Rodgers got there, he's like, cool, I'm redshirt, I'm backing up for this whole season. I'm going to learn, and then when my time comes, I'll step up. Similar to what Jordan Love's done.
Hmm. Yes.
And that goes back to mindset and mentality. He had a mindset and, you know, a plan for this whole year of, yeah, exactly, being that backup, and now it's just been flipped on its head, and he's like, shit, I'm the starter again. All right. I don't have the safety net of Aaron Rodgers. I don't have a veteran quarterback behind me, essentially helping me, pushing me, whatever. So, yeah, a huge part of it is mindset. Do a bit of mentalist sort of stuff for Zach Wilson, and, you know, might help. He has confirmed as starter for this week against the Chiefs, though. Salah's come out and confirmed that. So, because off the back of that, they have gone and signed.
Hold on. Trevor Siemian.
Yeah,
he was
released from the Bengals. He was a starter for the Broncos 16-17, I believe. Doesn't have a great record. Doesn't have a winning record as a starter. Because he's been in and out of, what did they say? He hasn't won a starting position for the last 6 years. So, like, he kind of comes through and things like that.
Perennial
backup.
Yeah, he's been around. I think that's what they're more going for, though. He's been around the town. He's been in systems.
And
he's just come from the Joey B tree, just seeing what he's doing, and he can bring that. Even if he is still the backup in the Jets, he's going to be able to, you know, get to Zach and say,
let's have some experience, a bit of reassurance behind Zach.
What we're doing.
give him some confidence and, yeah, like have some looks at things from the sidelines and just help him through these next little period without Aaron there. Yeah, not a bad move. Like, wasn't one of the names that had been on the list that everyone's been talking about, though, since he started to struggle, that's for sure.
Yeah, and let's say, God forbid, like Zach actually goes down, at least you got someone who's started and played in games before in the NFL level to go in and step in. Because if you then go back to your third stringer, the Jets fans will lose it. Like, absolutely lose it. You have to bring someone in. And I think that's what they've done. But does this mean now that they've brought him in, are they going to take the name? Like, you know, there was a lot of hype around maybe potentially trading for Kirk Cousins.
Well,
that was getting a bit of momentum.
But can you see, all right, maybe if they lose this week, the Vikings, but they're not completely dead being 0-3. I can't see him going, you know, I know he's on his last year of his contract, but, you know.
Have you seen the stats of teams that go 0-3 to then go into the playoffs?
Yeah, they're shitty.
It's like, you know, it's like below 10%.
I can only think of one team, which is might have even been the Bengals that have made it. That's the only one I can remember in recent times. But there's still a chance.
They're still not last in the NFC North. The Bears are last in the NFC North. So
who's first in the NFC North, Cats?
I'm not sure. Oh, the stats have just gone fuzzy. I can't lost
shame,
it.
What a shame. You can tell you it's not the Lions. Not the bloody
Lions. We'll have to revisit that.
Anyway, I can't see them sending Kirk over there, but, you know, you never know.
It made for a good storyline, but couldn't see it happen.
You see,
I don't know if Kirk would want to go either. Like, especially after watching quarterback, he is like a family man. He is not leaving that.
Doesn't seem like that sort of dude, does he?
No.
For one season, if they give you a shitload of money for one season, I'll probably go.
Do they not take it? Does your contract go to them when you get traded?
It has to be negotiated. Well, because he's on his last season, it'll be different.
But they're not going to re-sign him. It would be like...
No, it'll be for the rest of this season. Yeah. It'll be interesting. But there was one, Kaepernick. Did you see he wrote a letter? He sent a letter to the Jets and been like, I'm training from 5 to 8, 5 days a week. I'm prime, ready to go.
He was last in the league in 2016. Simeon was the last, won his last starting spot in 2017. So they're not actually that far away. Yeah, Simeon's been in the league still and has had a few starts here and there. Apparently Kaepernick's been doing workouts and staying fit. But he did some he went to some
J. Cole was on who asked if he could release the
I know, that's pretty funny. Kaepernick went to tryouts and at a few facilities and things last year. But he's just so long removed from the league. I don't think he's a realistic shot of getting a chance.
But you got to appreciate the man's hustle to send a letter.
Good on you. I don't think so.
The next story we're moving on to is, move the notes. The Taylor Swift effect that you've got written down, the Travis Kelce jerseys have spiked nearly 400% since the official news has come out. Have you bought yourself a jersey yet?
Absolutely not. I'm not buying any Chiefs stuff. not a chance.
What about Any Given Sunday Chiefs?
Yeah, actually, that is fire, though. But that's just the Any Given Sunday merch. It's anygivensunday.dustautomat.com if you want to check it out.
All 32 teams.
All 32 teams. And the Chiefs one is probably one of the more fiery ones as well. Can't deny it.
Unfortunate.
Can't send one to Brendo just so I know.
Why the Brendo board?
Good question. We'll ask him.
Yeah, what's going on?
Dial him in. The Swifties are absolutely going nuts for this. Like, you saw her in the box next to Donna Kelce, and you saw her very clearly mouth.
What's been done?
It's just crazy. I think it was one of the most viewed games, 24.3 million, making the most.
It was the highest viewed for the weekend. Yeah.
But she, I'm not a fan. And I'll tell you why.
Whoa, she's controversial.
This broke this Swifties heart.
Bawkers.
Oh.
Little do you guys know, she actually has a song, multiple songs, where she sings about wearing her Eagles shirt. She was an Eagles fan through and through. Now, I'm saying she's a bandwagoner. Let's take Kelce out of the mix for a second.
There's a Kelce at the Eagles. Go for him.
Yeah, and he's come out and said it as well. He posted on Twitter. He's like, I listen to your music. You are a liar.
Well, he made his kid, you guys. Come on.
But yeah, obviously their relationship's gone well, good enough to the fact that she's actually come down to watch him play, which was huge, and spiked the ratings. I think the highest increase was between 12 and 17 year old girls, which is great. But you know, anyway, to spread the love of the game, if Swifty's going to get around it, good on him.
Yeah, no, it was cool. I like it. I like the story of it. It's, they don't always end well, but yeah.
If any relationship is going to, like, we're speaking about this today with the Pro Kick Boys, if any relationship is going to go well, it's two people that are too busy to have a normal relationship.
Yeah.
So she's touring the world on a year's tour and he's playing nonstop. You laugh because can't stop moving.
Touching me with your friend.
It's nice being in the same room. And yeah, obviously he's playing, like, you know, every second week away. Training, he only has one day off a week anyway. So if any relationship could work, it potentially could be this one.
The long distance, that's for sure. And then until the off season, and he's off to Europe or wherever she is on the on the Eras tour. She's coming to Australia next year, isn't she? Actually,
yeah.
Trav might get down. Get him on the pod. Get him on the line.
Now, Mahomes did come out and say that he was under a huge amount of pressure, though, to try and get Kelce the ball in the end zone. And it was on a broken play that he managed to do it. And that just shows their connection. Their connection is bloody unbelievable. Because they were actually playing the Bears.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we hit it. Yeah. So it was actually a broken play. It was never meant to go to Kelce in the first place, but Kelce doing Kelce things, ran his own route. And then there he was, bang, opened the end zone and got it. Got in for his tud. Had to do it. Had to do it for the Swifties.
Yeah, they were pretty happy about it, I reckon.
Hmm.
Our third and final story is, so I put this one out there just to, and it was really reiterated this morning, Danny, from our conversations at ProKick as well about, we're talking about the sports psych there, and she was saying how much she loves the game for the mental side of things of, you know, AFL over here is so instinctive and, you know, as Cardi is a 48-year-old player that's still going, you've still got your instincts about you.
Whoa, 48-year-old Premier.
Premiership player, thank you very much. Put some respect on my name.
But it's so instinctive and you can just, you know, you have the ball and you've got six different options ready for you just moving around where quarterback, we've got to fit it in a hole this big. And you've got a coordinator on the other side that's scheming against you just to change it all up. And, you know, one player who does moves the wrong way with his route can stuff up a play completely and you're running off the sheets. But the fact that we got this week two players on the for the Patriots that are ex-Cowboys and they're playing each other, the fact that they're going to have to go out, they'll have to change hand signals, they'll have to change calls because these boys are going to know. What are you laughing at?
Go on.
Keep going.
Keep going. Like, no shit. Like, this happens in every single sport.
This is a non-story. Danny and I agree on this. This is absolute trash.
Just getting it around. And the fact that it got brought up this morning was so, I thought, you know what? It's a great story.
It's obviously going to happen in any sport. And yeah, okay, there's going to be some similar plays, but they're not going to be the exact same playbook that they had last year. Otherwise, the team's not improving.
Did you not see the interceptions? Mate, they were the exact same as last year. The Cowboys.
It's rubbish. Look how much movement there is in the league of players getting traded, OC and DCs becoming head coaches. Of course, there's people from other teams that know things and they're going to ask questions and try and get any information they know, but it's fucking non-story. It's absolute bullshit.
Oh.
I love that you're trying to... I actually didn't think you were going to try and talk about that story. And then...
I will. And it's...
Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, the media's really stuffed me up here. I was trying to move on very quickly, but it didn't work.
No,
it's fine. Still not working. Anyway, we'll get rid of that. We're going on to some questions without notice. The media, your internet down here is trying, can't take on three different things at once. It's actually probably...
Sting without notice doesn't like it.
Nah, it doesn't like it too much.
Can't play Sting without notice.
Too much going on. It's a little bit of we've only got one question, and it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It is for you. You can answer two cards if you want to. But it does refer back to the Kelce and the Swift connection. I want to know, which is a better Kelce-Swift connection, Kansas City or the Philadelphia Eagles?
Obviously the Philly.
Yeah.
Shit. I haven't heard any songs that she's sung recently that have anything to do with Chiefs or Kansas City. So it's obviously the
next
strong
bigger hit, maybe.
Then
Cartsy speechless. What do you think's a better Kelce and Swift combination?
Not a shit question. That's what I think.
Gotta apologize. Nah. I think it's been in the same rooms, just funny. Absolutely gone to T.
Same room has sent you stupid. I think T Swift in red looks good, so I'm going with Travis Kelce.
Obviously.
Sorry.
But Dan. Swift, in all seriousness, Swift at the Eagles, he's been dominating since he got there.
Absolutely. Swift is destroyed.
Now it's not a bad question, is it? Fuck you.
Well, because it's a totally different question. Now, I just want to ask you, Danny, is he RB1 or is it Greenwell?
No, we are running back by committee. There is no RB1.
So, yes, he is.
What do you think?
You're picking one in fantasy. Who are you going?
Swifty, every day of the week. Like, we were talking to Tommy Gleason, who got him in an auto pick, and he's like, I never would have picked him. And he's been absolutely dominating. He is his RB1. I don't think it's necessarily Swift. Like, Swift was obviously great when he was at the Lions, and I was a huge fan of him then anyway. But it's that offensive line. That offensive line is creating the biggest holes possible. If you watch the behind the quarterback camera when they show it, it's literally like Moses parting the sea and then just completely open for him to run through. But his ability to brush off tackles and run through them is like absolutely number one. He's doing incredible things. And if it wasn't for him now running game, Philly would not be 3-0. Like, there's only three teams left that are 3-0. It's the 49ers, potentially Super Bowl contenders, Dolphins, potentially Super Bowl contenders, and then there's the Eagles. At the moment, even as a Philly fan, almost 3-0 pretenders, because the first few games we absolutely struggled in. Even the first half of the game we just played, Hurts was not looking like himself, and it only took him until he was in the second half. I know we won comfortably, but we are not the complete package that we were at the end of last year, that's for sure. We've still got a long way to go.
It's funny you say that, and it does kind of feel like you haven't hit your straps yet, but you've got a plus 48 point differential point differential, which is pretty good. And you're sitting second in the NFC conference. So you're doing well for a team that hasn't exactly hit their straps yet.
Yeah. It's obviously there's good things to come. I would just like to see them straight away. Would be nice if we come out firing, but with that big of a turnover, you're never going to come out 100% right from the get go. Before, speaking of Kelce, let's talk about the Philly Kelce. What he does with that.
I was going to bring it up.
With the tush push.
You see, there was one that they did, and I reckon he got across for a touchdown, and Kelce got up. He's just like, oh man, you hate that so much.
Oh, it's heartbreaking, especially after watching his doco on Prime. If you haven't gone and watched it, I preach about it every single episode. I'm going to do it again. Get Prime. It's a free trial for 30 days. Just watch it.
Watch
one show, then cancel it. I don't care. But he was talking about retiring, and his main point of him retiring is because he wants to be there. He's got three beautiful daughters. He wants to be there to watch his kids grow up. He doesn't want to potentially develop CTE or any other form of injury that he's got. He's constantly on anti-inflams, and you see him after it's essentially a scrum. It's essentially a rugby scrum, and you are trying to push 300-pound guys a yard away when they're coming at you with full force, and they do it 92%
after getting the ball off to the quarterback and coming back up.
Hands up straight away. You're doing it, and they're doing it 92% of the time. He's my MVP.
We've talked about the Eagles for way too long.
All right. We're gonna go into some.
I don't know what you did, but you managed to hijack him. It's like you hypnotized him.
You walked green for me.
I got the Packers on. Let's get on to the Packers. They are this week's Friday night, or for Friday, Thursday night game. So I'm going to start with my preview. Let's get that. I'm going to do the proper screen presentation that I didn't do last week, Karts. What are your thoughts, Karts? What are your...
That one looks good.
Nice. Well picked by Danny. The Lions and the Packers at Lambeau, which is, I think, I know they beat us there last year, but that is a huge huge factor in it going forward. It's our second game in a row at Lambeau. I want to go back and talk a little bit about last week's game against the Saints for us. Who the Lions beat? Do we know? We won't worry about
it. You keep dribbling.
That'd be good. Thanks, mate. The Packers. So we did get the W, and it was a good come from behind win.
The Lions beat Atlanta.
Comfortably, which was good for them. They are kind of just chugging along nicely. But the thing that I'm worried about the most is We went three quarters without scoring. Huge come from behind win. To score 18 in the last quarter. We had a two-point conversion in there as well. But there was just so many plays in the first three quarters that you just look at them and you think, what the fuck are we doing? Like, we had a fourth and one that we did a trick play. I actually love the play. He was wide open, but it got thrown back to his feet. He tripped over, threw it. Jordan Love, what are you doing? But I guess, like yourself, the fact that we're getting a win when we're not still, well, we're still developing, still learning, is the positives, and the way we got the win is huge. But if we just clean up those little bits, you know, it's a 25, 24.
Had absolutely nothing to do with the Saints quarterback going down before halftime.
Well, they got Jameson Winston coming, though. Like, he's not a, he's been a starter in the league for years. Like, I don't think you can, Derek Carr better, yes, like he beat him out. But Winston's not a mug. Like, he knows how to move his field and play, and he's got some weapons. He's still got Michael Thomas. He's still got Olave there. So I don't know if that's such a big deal that he went down.
Maybe he looked like a mug against a shit Packers team in the second half on the weekend. I don't know.
We won. Anyway, this week,
Winston, shit.
I don't know.
What I was saying.
Yeah, so...
Nah, I didn't do the game, so don't worry about it.
I think it'll actually be a cracking game. I don't know what the over is, but I reckon it's going to be a high-scoring affair. Jared Goff's started the year pretty well, and he's got his young blokes like Jahmyr Gibbs. He's playing pretty well. Our side, I think if we can get back... We lost probably our four best players besides Jordan Love. Alexander went down. Bakhtiari didn't play. Elton Jenkins, who's... our other tackle, he didn't play. Christian Watson still hasn't played.
AJ Dillon?
He played.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. But, yeah, so four or five of our best players weren't there on both sides of the ball. So I keep talking myself into it. It was a better win than what I thought. But if we can get, especially Aaron Jones, get him back on the park, it's going to be huge for Jordan Love. Going forward. So, yeah, I think a huge game. Take the overs is my opinion at Lambeau. It's going to be hot. But
you guys are plus two underdogs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, take it. We'll win.
Okay. I'm definitely tipping the Lions. Okay. Take that. They've got the Lions is now known as, what is it, Lambeau Field?
I'm going to take the Lions.
All right. So 2-1.
I'll go next. Yeah. So you guys aren't, even though it's out of order a little bit, I'll do on Monday Night Football, but just so you guys aren't talking back to back. Give you a little break over there. Now, I got the Seahawks and the Giants Monday Night Football. It's at MetLife Stadium in Jersey. Hawks are 1-0 on the road. Giants are 0-1 at home. So, you know, this is going to be a little bit of a stat-heavy analysis. Nah, that's okay. So the Seahawks are sitting 2-1, second in the NFC West. Giants are 1-2, fourth in the NFC East. This is where the stats might be a bit more telling. Seahawks, probably middle of the pack, 13th and 16th, respectively, for rush passing and rushing. Fourth overall scoring points for. 29th, though, for points scored against. On the other side, the Giants, they're 28th for passing, 25th for rushing, 31st in points for, and 30th in points against. So just showing that, yeah, obviously the Giants underperforming the very bottom end of most of those stat lines there. A little bit of the reason might be the Giants' injuries on the offensive side of the ball. I think they've got four starters that are questionable. Saquon Barkley, obviously the biggest name there. He's still day-to-day, I think, was the last update from the Giants facility there. And they're not getting a lot of production from their wide receiver room. Tight end Darren Waller, who they picked up from, I'm not sure where, he's leading them in receiving yards so far for the year, and they're just getting no production from, oh, we know where he came from. They're just getting no production at all from their other wide receivers. The Seahawks, on the other hand, they're a little bit more banged up on the defensive side of the ball. They've got six guys across their starters and second stringers, which are probably questionable. And as sort of reflected in the stats a little bit earlier, and thanks to the likes of Walker the Third and Lockett and Metcalf, both their passing and rushing games are being pretty good. Lockett over 100 yards for the year so far. Metcalf over 200 yards. So they're both pretty productive. And their wide receivers drop away a little bit after those two. I think Smith-Schuster is the next most productive, but he's only had 47 yards receiving. Their tight ends are the next two best. Probably my favorite stat that I was able to dig up, the Giants are 1-11 in primetime games that Daniel Jones has started as the quarterback. So obviously Monday Night Football, this is prime time. That record doesn't bode well. They're not great offensively at home lately. Saquon is still out and questionable. I think it's a no-brainer that you take the Seahawks. Geno and the boys in this game. I'm just going to have a quick squizzy and see what the line is if you boys want to quickly do your tip.
So the Giants are favourites.
Giants are favourites. There you go. I just found it. Yeah, like, wow.
I was blown away when I just read that on my phone.
I'm not sure what the bookies know that we don't.
I think the only thing is it's in New York.
Jersey.
It's in New Jersey.
It's in Jersey. And it's a long trip from Seattle across. It's probably one of the bigger ones as I just look up at my map up here.
Where's your map?
In football. But, I mean, teams are used to travel. I don't think much of an impact as what it's made out to be. No, I'm taking the Seahawks every day of the week.
You're giving Seahawks points. I'm taking it.
Yeah, 100%. I'm on the Seahawks as well. Giants haven't been impressive enough, I don't think, to start this season.
Especially losing Barkley. Like, and still, even if he does come back, he's not going to be – they're going to feed him the ball as much. Like,
they need him. Their passing game is just no – and, like, you sort of look last week, who did the Giants – the Giants had – they were Thursday Night Football against the 49ers. The 49ers just shut Waller down. Mm. And their passing game was just nowhere. So without Saquon there to sort of get the running game going, I just can't see offensively like where they're dangerous. Yeah. Metcalf and Lockett are weapons in the air. We've got Walker the third on the ground for the Seahawks. For me, it's just a no-brainer.
100%. 3-3.
What do you think of the analysis? A bit too stat heavy.
No, it was delicious. Like... And what are your thoughts on our little artwork?
Graphic.
Obviously, like graphics that we've all designed ourselves. Please don't sue us.
yes, I did that one because that was my
lucky last. Is our boy Danwar? What game do you have, mate?
Yeah, so I've got the Sunday prime time, which is Monday 11:20 for us Australian time. Make sure you book in your RDOs. Once again, the Jets are in the prime time, and we all know it was all for Zachy boy.
Yeah. It's just Trevor's time.
Yeah. So this game, you got the elite New York defense against some like high-flying Kansas City offense. It's Mahomes once again is dominating. He had 273 yards and 3 touchdowns against that struggling Bears team. The Jets defense, though, held Mac Jones 201 yards, and he had all except for one pass were all under 15 yards. So they're really, really strong at protecting that deep game. Mahomes, even on his dodgy ankle, which he re-twinged, he's rushed for over 25 yards in all three games so far this year. So the interior Jets defense probably needs to pick that up a little bit. I'm sure they're watching all the film they can to try and get this done. The Jets need to find some way to score, though, and actually move the ball, not just go 3-and-out. Turns out it's important to score to win games. It's the highest score. What? Highest score, you kind of get the win. So both on the ground and in the air, they've really struggled so far to start the season, as we touched on massively before. So we'll just skim over that part. Otherwise, you're just going to have to rely super heavily on the defense to try and manage to stop Kansas City scoring, and then they don't just run away with it. If Kansas City get up even by 2 scores, if they get up by 10 plus, probably game's over. The game's over, which brings me to their line. It's at 9.5. Chiefs is 9.5. So the bookies are on board with me. I reckon the Chiefs are going to smash this. It is at MetLife, so it's probably why the line is that little bit closer. Jets do have that elite level defense, but the Chiefs are going to win. It's just a matter of by how much, isn't it?
I think that defense can only hold up to so much. And like, yeah, such a high octane, high scoring offense is what the Chiefs have got. Cool, give me that 9.5.
Mahomes was hitting every single one of his receivers. Like, every single one. You can't pick what game he's going to pick a receiver and get them to be the favorite. And if he's not passing a receiver, he's passing to Kelsey. Like, where?
He's got Kelsey. They're just, And their running back room, like, it just, they share carries as well. Like, it, you don't, it's not always going to be your Pacheco, your Edwards-Helaires, all that sort of stuff. Like, it's, you know, so they can just get you anywhere.
Every game as well. Like, he's playing absolutely amazing football.
Yeah. I don't know much more to say. I'm actually going to say that the Jets will keep it close, but the, so I'll take them at 9.5, but.
Really?
Yeah, the Chiefs, they're just that kind of team that just don't, besides last week, but the Bears are crap. Not early in the year, they don't blow teams away. They're a December, January type football operation. So I reckon that they'll keep it close, but yeah, they'll win by that touchdown comfortably.
Okay. Like it.
Okay.
All right. Let's wrap this up with our locks of the week. So you were, how did you, mine won last week. Did yours win?
Yeah, mine won last week. How did
what, you didn't get my phone in?
No. We actually got your Twitter in or your ex in.
I actually did.
He said the Cowboys for you. So.
And I agree with him as well. I doubled down. I'm like, Cowboys for sure.
Which is actually hilarious because, yeah.
That tweet did not age well.
No, the not age well tweet. That was good. So we're all 1-1-1.
We're all currently on one apiece. So, Danny, we decided last week that, yeah, the loser of the lock of the week at the end of the year, there's going to be some sort of form of punishment for, which we might let the fam decide if it's not too fucked up for me. We might decide what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we might decide what it is. But we're all tied up at one apiece. So obviously, I took Miami last week and you took the Chiefs against the Bears, you big brave boy. So
following the Bears wherever they go.
We also said you can't pick against the Bears every week.
This week off.
I also feel like it should be like run your pool as well. You can't pick Miami.
We're gonna let you go the same team again if you wish.
Yeah, but it'll be a bit smelly. It'll be an asterisk win if you do.
You'll get pulled up.
I didn't actually get to officially announce mine last week, and steal mine because I was looking at this week. There's a few 0-3 teams going against one another. A couple of 2-1 teams. And see,
there's a couple of like. Games that are just like, oh.
It's a few that are right on the edge. Like, that Bears, how the hell is that going to go? I wonder. No, it's not what I picked up. I picked the 49ers versus the Cardinals. I know they came out and they won, but they are still only 1-2. I really thought the Cowboys were going to get done against them, but the 49ers, I reckon they're going to go up 4-0. You can't really stop that
at home.
You can't really stop the 49ers' defense. They're elite, and Brock Purdy is absolutely taking this team under his wing and performing so well. So, yeah, give me those 49ers.
Let me tell you, the Cardinals aren't going to stop them, that's for sure. So.
And plus, we've got to keep this Brock party going, baby.
Good pick. I like it. Do you want me to go? Sure. I'm taking the Cowboys against the Patriots bounce back game. Lock it in.
Wow.
Lock it in. At home at AT&T. Yeah. They're going to bounce back. That defense is going to... shut out Mac Jones and the boy. No, maybe not shut out, but they're gonna bounce back. So, Cowboys, lock it in.
Mine actually makes me a little bit sick to say it, but I think the weight of numbers that he normally gets and Justin Jefferson always gets, I'm actually going the Vikings over the Panthers.
You are the biggest Vikings hater going around. This is amazing.
It feels a little bit...
Wow. Make sure you write that down in pen. Permanent marker. Print it out. Team asset.
It's written down. I can't believe that, Maxo.
I know. But I just feel like their weight of numbers has to win them a game eventually. And I think
on the road too.
Yeah. Although if I lose that one, I'm not too disappointed because I know I'm four Vikings is delicious. So I'll win either one.
You've done that as a I win either way pick.
That's nice. Good job, boys. We are in six. Long episode.
You're welcome. And to the being in the same room, I think the banter just kind of like multiplies. So apologies, but
understandable. Nah, I'm jealous. Quick shout out to the boys at work for chucking us up on the TV and mess the other one. A little bit of feedback. I've got a great camera apparently, but we might need to just fix our link for the merch store on the Instagram, so if anyone's trying to get there via that link, we will be fixing that.
Thanks for telling me that offline.
So now they know that we're going to attend us and anyone else that's listening.
Nah, good work, boys. Enjoy your week. You don't have any more grand finals to attend, Cardi?
Grand final, well, obviously AFL this weekend.
I'm going to that one, so.
I won't be going to the actual game, but yeah, it's been grand final heavy the last few weeks for me. Shit. So it's gonna be good to have a break.
I'm going. What are you doing? You're rooftop.
I'm going to a rooftop. Yeah, open invite. Sorry, Hayden. I'm just gonna invite everyone. Going to a rooftop in North Melbourne, which is gonna be a great spot to watch it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a cracking day. Yeah,
wear your sunscreen, white brim hats.
Yes, sir.
Get amongst that.
Yes. To finish it off, make sure you go find us in all the places. Like and subscribe, all those things. Change up a little bit. Go Lions, but Brisbane Lions.
Go Detroit.
Well done.
Detroit. 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 Lions.